you know, due to COVID and different things, I know 2020 and 2021 have been maybe odd for everyone. And I think in our lives, it's easy to become distracted by problems, by challenges, by our finite mind. What we see is what we get, you know. And this morning, my message title was Count Your Blessings. And I think we could count a lot of physical blessings. We could count a lot of financial blessings. But all these blessings are in Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Again, it doesn't matter what you're going through, what trials you're going through, what problems you're going through. Every single one of these, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be thankful for these things. And I could have probably went on months or days or, you know, for a long time. And to come up with 5, 6, 7, to me, was a challenge, to be honest. Otherwise, we could be here preaching for 3 hours, and Everett doesn't want to hear that. So, you know, we can come up with a lot of things spiritually that we can be thankful for. And the first thing I came up with is salvation. In Isaiah 45:22, it says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And there's so many things to salvation, but just the simplicity of salvation. You know, you can see in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts 16, verse 31, and it says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Salvation is so simple. The Lord Jesus Christ did it all for us. He did it all. He paid for our sins upon that cross of Calvary. I am so thankful that it is simplistic. It is simple. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is another good one. John chapter 6, verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." If we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. We have salvation. It doesn't matter how bad this world is going to be. It doesn't matter what happens to you in this life. It doesn't matter what's going on. You have eternal life. You have salvation. We can be thankful for that. My other part of salvation is I'm thankful for the availability of salvation. Everyone is invited. All are invited. He didn't just die for the elect. He didn't die for just the few. He died for all mankind. Look at 1 Timothy 2:4. First Timothy 2:4, the Apostle Paul says, this is the desire, "Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." It was his desire to have all men to be saved. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:15. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Salvation is available for everyone. Salvation is available for all mankind. He didn't die just for the elect. He didn't die for just a few. When he hung on that cross, he hung on that cross for the sins of the unbeliever as well. You can see in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Jesus Christ has already done his part. He reconciled the world. That does not mean that all mankind will be saved. But it does mean that Jesus Christ did his part. It is up to us to put our faith and trust in what he did on the cross of Calvary. He reconciled the world. He didn't reconcile just a few. He didn't reconcile the elect. He didn't reconcile, again, I'm not saying that all mankind will be saved, but Jesus Christ did his part. He reconciled the world unto himself. And now it's up to mankind to put their faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us, for our sins, for our salvation. That death of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all. Look at Romans chapter 8. He went upon that cross. He went and paid for our sins. Romans 8 verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And then there's the guarantee, there's the certainty of salvation. You know, in a lot of religions or in the world, I don't think they ever know if they're truly saved or not. With what the Word of God says, we can know that we have salvation. We can have the peace that passes all understanding. In Romans 1 verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." It's a guarantee. We can know that we have salvation and we can be thankful for that. Romans 5, 8, another great verse. "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait for you to get better. He didn't wait for you to be good. He didn't wait for you to come to church. He died for you while you were a sinner. And I can't talk about salvation without reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Salvation is so simple. It's easy. It's given. It's a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." So here's the gospel, the good news which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is salvation. And if you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. It doesn't matter what struggles you're going through on this life, in this earth. One day you will be there with him. So number one, we can be thankful for our salvation. Second thing I put was the power of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit sealed, eternally secure. We have the presence of the indwelling Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit the minute you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The Spirit takes up permanent residence in the believer at the moment of salvation. The minute that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He dwells in you. He convicts you. He consoles you. He educates you. He illuminates you. You can see a lot of that in John chapter 14. Let's jump back there. But we can be thankful for the Holy Spirit's ministry of consolation. Look at John chapter 14. Verse 16 and 17. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwells in you, and he shall be in you." The Holy Spirit is here to comfort you. I know there's times in our life that we don't feel like we can be comforted. I know there's times in our life that we don't think it's fair. We think everybody's against us, even the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit will comfort you. He will lead you. He will guide you. John 14:26, it even talks about him educating us. Verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And then John 16:13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come." The Holy Spirit will shed light on many things in our life. The Word of God, things that we're doing wrong, things that we're messing up. The Holy Spirit is there to lead us and guide us, poke us. There may be times that we don't want him there, but he's always, always there. Look at Romans 8:26-27. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Romans 8:26-27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I'm so thankful for that for many, many reasons. Because I believe many times my prayers are selfish and the Holy Spirit comes in and he changes them according to the will of God. I think the Holy Spirit helps me and guides me, and he makes intercession for me. Many times we don't know what to pray. We're in agony, or we're upset, or we're irritated, or whatever, and we don't know what to do. But we can just cry out to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And I'm so thankful for that. The Holy Spirit seals us. And I think it's so important to see, because out there in the world, people think, can you lose your salvation? Can you lose it? Can you gain it? What can we do? But in Scripture, it talks about being sealed. If you jump over to Ephesians chapter 1 with me. And I looked up that definition of sealed. And the definition says it's placed on a product or package to show that contents have not been tampered with. It's a seal. And you cannot take that seal and break it and reseal it and break it and reseal it. And anytime I get that bag of chips that is open, my wife says, "You can't eat those." I'm like, "It's okay. Somebody's got to eat them." She says, "No. When that seal is broken, you cannot. The food's damaged. It's no good." The minute that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Nothing can break it. Nothing can separate it. Nothing can change it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." You've heard the word of truth. You've heard the gospel of salvation. "In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory." You can see Ephesians 4:30 as well. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that we are sealed. I am so thankful that there is eternal security. I am so thankful that Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. If it was all based on what I do, I would never make it. If it was all based on how good I was, I would never get there. I am so thankful that we are sealed until the day of redemption. Next word that I put down was forgiveness. You know, and you can see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, right there, a couple verses down. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is not something that happens, it's already happened. Jesus Christ hath forgiven you. He has already forgiven you. When he went to the cross of Calvary, he forgave you. He has paid for your sins. It's taken, it's done away with, it's handled. What a blessing of being a believer that we have the forgiveness of our sins. You can see it in Colossians chapter 3 as well. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgave is in the past. Forgave is a done. I'm not looking for forgiveness every single Sunday I come to church. I'm not looking for forgiveness each and every time I do something wrong. I've already been forgiven. He already forgave me. Now that doesn't mean just keep on living the way I want to live and live in the sin that I want to live in. But it's so much easier in being thankful to know that my forgiveness is paid for. It's handled. It's done. You know, I think of my kids and the forgiveness that I give them over and over and over again. You know, if Eliza does something, you know, I may be upset for a little bit, but we forgive them. And if anybody ever had kids, it's a time and time again. That forgiveness that we can have from the Lord Jesus Christ. Next word I used was his love. Look at John 3:16. Everybody knows this verse. But I like to use it to show the love of Christ. Again, if you're struggling today and you don't have anything to be thankful for and you don't understand what you're doing here, the love of Christ is something to be thankful for. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a sacrificial love. I don't think we can ever fully understand the pain and agony that God went through by giving his one and only Son. By giving himself on the cross of Calvary to say, hey, I'm going to buy these people back. I'm going to redeem them back. The minute that he created Adam and Eve, he knew what he had to do. He knew the end result. He knew the love that he had for the people. And to me, and thankfully I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ, but if I knew the outcome, I don't think I would have ever created man. But the love that Jesus Christ had for us is what held him on that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have said, I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. But he hung on that cross because he had a love for you. Each and every morning, get up and think of the love. Think of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for you. If you look at Matthew 18, it talks about a parable of the lost sheep. Matthew 18, verse 12, it says, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If you are that one little sheep that strayed away, Jesus is coming to find you. That love that he has for you. If you were the only one on this earth, he would have still came and died for you. What a love that is. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, we're back to the seal of the Holy Spirit. Once we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, nothing can separate us. If you can go through that passage and find something in there that can separate us from the love of Christ, I'd love to discuss it. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. We are eternally sealed with him the minute we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another one I put down is that God is sovereign. And the older I get, the more real or the more I can see this. You know, many times in your life, that's not fair. I don't understand why that happened. But when you can realize that everything happens for a reason. It could be good. It could be bad. It could be indifferent. In your life, there's a reason that it happened. God is sovereign. His plan is playing out. His will for your life is playing out. Yes, many times we don't like it. I like the rubber band illustration. You know, a rubber band's not being used until it's stretched. You know, many times we may not like it. We may not understand it. We may say it's not fair. But God is sovereign. In 1 Chronicles, it says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." Nothing in this world is out of God's control or influence. God has complete authority over everything that happens. God is the ultimate source of power, and he is in control. There is nothing that is impossible with God. And when you can begin to believe in God's sovereign plan and sovereign will, and like I said, there's many times in our finite mind we can't understand why this thing happened. We lost a loved one, or we got divorced, or this was not ever the plan in my life. But you can begin to see God's sovereign hand in everything. The next thing I put down is the Word of God. I am so thankful for the preservation of the Scriptures. Man, time and time again, has tried to get rid of them, has tried to burn them, has tried to... In some countries, you can't have the Bible. It's not an option. But the Word of God is still here, and you and I can read it. If you have a Bible in your hand, you're above most of the world. Now we can have it in our phone. We can have it anywhere we want it. But look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." we have the preserved Word of God. If we feel lonely, if we still feel stuck, if we feel confused, we can go to the Word of God and read it. God has not changed the message. There's a story from beginning to end. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the greatest gift here on this earth, and that's the word of God. It was written and inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was written by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can read it and learn directly from the Almighty God. And lastly, I just put our citizenship in heaven. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. "For our conversation," or for our citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." When you are saved, you're born again. When you are saved, you're written in the book of life. You have received the free gift of salvation, and you'll have eternal life with Jesus Christ. And if you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection, you are already seated in the heavenlies. He has a seat with your name on it. You are already there. So whatever troubles we're going through, whatever struggles we're going through, whatever problems we have, and we could have went on for days and days of so many things in the Word of God in a spiritual sense of what we can be thankful for. I challenge you to take three of these a day and write them down. Find a verse that ties with it. And it will begin to change the way that you look at life. At this time, we're going to take communion, and I just want you to think of things you can be thankful for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." If you have never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can just let the elements pass by you. Nobody's going to say anything. Nobody's going to judge you. You can let them go past you. But if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, let a man examine himself. Find things you can be thankful for. Find things that you need to change in your life. Take a few minutes to be quiet. And just examine your own life. If the gentleman will come forward at this time. I guess we'll go ahead. Thank you. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Ernie, do you mind praying for his body?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you a portion of the service where we are remembering what you did for us on the cross. Father, we're told in Isaiah 53 of how you were beaten and despised of man. Father, no one wanted you except for a very small remnant. I ask you, Father, to help us remember the suffering that Jesus Christ went through. Father, all because of the love that he has for each of us. It was his love that kept him on the cross. Father's love, he could have stepped down and wiped all of mankind away and started over. But his love kept him there. Again, Father, the suffering that he went through. When Mary saw him in the garden, she did not remember what he looked like because the last time she saw him was when he was on the cross. Marred and despised and beaten more than any other human has ever been beaten. All because of his love for us. I pray to you in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen.
After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Without blood, there is no remission of sins, and we just thank you that through the blood of Jesus Christ that you paid for our sins. We are just thankful for our salvation. We are thankful that you made it so simple that we can come to you. We thank you for your love that held you on that cross. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit that seals us until the day of redemption. We are thankful that we are seated in the heavenlies. We are thankful for the Word of God, the preservation of Scripture, that we can learn and grow and that we can know that we have salvation, that we can have the peace that passes all understanding. We just thank you for this time as we examine our lives and examine what we can do for you. We just thank you for the many blessings that you give to each and every one of us. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.